Thanks so much. I thought I was going to have the tambourine and be able to play that this morning as well. Now that would have been a sermon. So it is good to be here. I'm all hooked up. Thanks for providing me with this opportunity to share about biblical mentoring and the power of mentoring. For me, personally speaking, I think mentors have played a significant role in my own life, and I hope to share a few stories later in the sermon about how that's taken place. So hopefully not duplicating too much. So just what is biblical mentoring? I am hoping, where do I point? I'm pointing. I am on. Well, we're not pointing. Oh, am I hooked on? How about if we change the second slide and we'll figure this technology out? Great. Oh, there we go. Fantastic. So what exactly is mentoring? Next slide, please. You're going to, if this is not working, there we go. Is that, he's checking the remote. It should work now. Great. So mentoring is something really relational. It's a relational experience where one person empowers another person sharing God-given resources. You know, it's very much a spiritual practice. It's not just hanging out over a cup of coffee. It's something far deeper. Now, you often would have a mentor who knows something, has experienced something, and who is able to pass on, whether it be something like resources, wisdom, information, experience, teaching, insight, relationships, etc., to a mentee or a protege. And what happens is that that transfer makes a difference in the mentee's life. It empowers them. It's a part of the development process, the discipleship process. There's a verse I love. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's amazing to think that we are not alone, that there are people in the body who love, care for us, and also want us to become more followers of Jesus and us to become more like Jesus. It's very crucial. Christian mentoring, per se, helps us to maximize the grace of God in the life and the service of a mentee so that we all can live to our full God-given potential. The other thing about mentoring is it really helps us to be part of an interdependent body. Many of us feel alone. Many of us feel alone during the week or in our lives, but if we realize that we're all a part of something that is linked to each other, that there are all kinds of crazy links. If we had a ball of yarn, a big ball of yarn, and we started here, and someone here, I said, okay, throw that yarn to somebody you're connected to here at Eagle Ridge. That would bop around here, and aside from being tied up, in about 5 minutes, this would look like a web. This would look like a big cross-section or a crazy drawing of a preschooler, but it would be a wonderful web where we could see all the links that would take place throughout this congregation. I'd like to give you a couple of examples of mentoring in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. We think of Eli and Samuel, the passing on of not just leadership, but spiritual leadership. Moses and Joshua, the young leader. Ruth and Naomi. Elizabeth and Mary. Barnabas and Paul. Paul and Timothy. So there is mentoring that has taken place through the whole of Scripture. Now, the one interesting thing is that there is power to grow through a situation, and you pass on something. It's the passing on of wisdom or knowledge. You think of years gone by, you think of people living in villages and passing on skills from one person to another. Likewise, in mentoring, you're passing something on to something else. It's not just about receiving knowledge. It's about a whole lot of life. Paul, the apostle, writes, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. It's not just something technical or schooly or something you have to do. It's something that comes passionately out of who we are and what we've experienced of God and the relationship we have with others. So this transfer, the exchange between a mentor and a mentee, there's empowerment involved, and this is at the heart of mentoring. I want a quick question here. Does anybody here, I'm not going to ask you a question about them, I promise. Does anyone here have a mentor? Does anyone here have a mentor? Yeah, we have a couple of people here. A mentor, somebody you look up to, somebody you meet with. I'd like to talk a little bit about some biblical mentors. I think of the Apostle Paul. Throughout all of his epistles, we find a playbook for mentoring other people. It's wonderful to see how Paul isn't just content on believing. He passes stuff on from himself to somebody else to somebody else. And the thing I was thinking about this morning is you guys are preparing for the VBS. I bet there's going to be a whole lot of mentoring take place this week. I bet there are going to be people, I bet there are going to be younger leaders, I bet there are going to be children who will be mentored, who will be trained, who will be discipled, who will be raised up by older leaders. It would be wonderful to be able to sit maybe up high and watch as this took place here at Eagle Ridge. Now, I forgot, I didn't read that last scripture, I apologize. For Paul, mentoring is very practical. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is all about practical stuff. He's all about putting things into practice. So I just wanted to focus on Jesus as the master mentor. If we can think of one historical figure for whom we can look to as a mentor, it would definitely be Jesus. And one of the passages that stands out for me following the crucifixion of Christ is where Jesus is walking along the road to Emmaus with two really disheartened followers. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? You know, within mentoring, there's a definite connection. Something clicks. There's something about the relationship that is really powerful and significant. When I think of Jesus, his model of mentoring is captured in two words, purposeful proximity, intentionally coming closer to people, to disciples. So Jesus, what did he do? He focused on 12 really rough around the edges disciples, and their first job description was to just be with him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him. So what can we learn from the way that the disciples were mentored? They talked, they ate, they journeyed, they spent time together. They had a profound kind of quality connection that took place. They not only were content in just being in their own little corner, they answered a call to be partnered in service. So it's also an outward, there's an outward aspect of it. It's not just, well, I'm all fine now. I have been mentored. I have my life totally together. That's not what it's all about. It's about passing it on. Mentoring has an outward focus. It's preparing the disciples for a life of service. Well, the other thing I think is great about Jesus, he asks great questions. He wants his disciples to look at things in a very different way. I call it like the pineapple upside down cake. If you think life is like this, Jesus will take it and flip it down over upside down, and there's a whole other layer that we tend to look at. I think there are real spiritual advantages that accompany inspired questions. You know, a good question will linger. It'll stick with you for a period of time. I think we have lots of examples. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Likewise, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Didn't he get it the first two times? Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And his response was, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus' response, feed my sheep. Do you know anybody who asks really good questions? Not just questions that kind of put you in the hot seat. Good questions that make you think a little bit, make you go a little bit deeper. Maybe Pastor David is one of those people. Maybe there are others in your life. I think those people are really good as gold because they help us to think about things that might not be the first thing that come to our mind. At the foundation of mentoring are the deepest concerns of our heart. It's where we really live, who we really are. So let's take a couple of moments to reflect on some of our yearnings. What might they be? Spiritual direction and maturity. Things like godly wisdom about key decisions. I don't know anybody else, but I often have had to make key decisions in my life and turn to others for help. How about people to accompany us on the journey? That's incredibly important because we don't want to be alone. Not only because we don't want to mess it up, but it's really disheartening being alone on a journey. There are other things that happen in our lives. We want to mend relationships. There's a lot of brokenness in our lives, our families, our workplaces, and even our churches. The importance of mending relationships. Or how about deepening prayer life? So crucial. There are other people when I speak to people ask and they want to know how they can invest the remaining years of their life to do something for God. or many of us also might be living with chronic pain. How do you live with chronic pain? Well, mentoring is often intergenerational. I mentioned that before. There are people who are older and people who are younger coming together. We are a generation of Timothys in search of our Pauls. We are a generation of Marys in search of our Elizabeths. Sorry, this is advancing twice when I click on it. So can one person meet all of our needs? Do anybody know the superwoman or the superman who's going to take care of it all? I don't know anybody like that, okay? While it's tempting to seek one person, there are real advantages to seeking multiple mentors in our lives. One, because individual mentors can help out in different ways. People change over time. Your needs change over time. And no one mentor is perfect. People also move. They leave. They have different seasons in their lives. This is something that I've borrowed from Bobby Clinton. He has a book on mentoring. And let's look at the middle is you. We all understand the you in the middle. Let's start at the top. That's upward mentoring. Those are people who mentor you. So, for example, Tom Sine in Seattle is a Christian author. He would mentor me. He is one of my upward mentors. And then on this side, we have peers. We have people who are about at our age and stage or situation in life. It could be a friend, a coworker, or someone. And these are people. I have a good friend of mine, Dan Williams, in Ladner, and he and I would be peer mentors. And then there are people that you would mentor, downward mentors, and those are people that have asked you to be their mentor. Now, there's other stuff, because you can have people inside your job, inside your church, or you could have people who are outside your church or your organization as well. Moving along, what does a mentor look like? What are some of the characteristics? Well, they have to see some potential in you. People need to be prayerful that they're going to be a mentor. And prayer itself might be a real focus of the mentoring relationship you have with your mentor. I think mentors are great, especially if they can be a little bit forgiving, tolerant, being tolerant of some mistakes, brashness, etc., and to really see your true potential. And I think mentors are great if they can be flexible in responding to a whole range of different kind of experiences. I think mentors, it's a tremendous value when they're patient, when they know that time and experience are needed in this person's life. You might have a young person who's super rough around the edges. It sounds like the disciple, eh? Somebody who's really rough around the edges, and yet you see something. At VBS this year, you see somebody. You see the way they relate to young children. You see the way they're learning. You see the way they change and adapt. You know there's something worth investing in. The other thing about mentors I mentioned before is the ability to ask good questions. Incredibly important. Not only that, mentors have gifts and abilities to encourage and lift up others. So what do mentors give us? They give us advice, they give us ideas, a sense of the bigger picture, they pray for us, and they give us freedom to emerge as a leader even beyond where they are at. So a mentor can see that this person has potential. I also think that mentors model a lot of different kind of stuff. They model leadership and discipleship, and they want to challenge the mentees. It's just not a static thing. They want people to grow and to learn and to move forward. Not only that, I think mentors are incredibly helpful by showing the way to certain kinds of resources. It could be spiritual practices. It could be books, articles, websites, other leaders, other mentors, courses, financial resources. Mentors can lead to a whole range of things. The other thing which I've found interesting over the years in mentoring is that mentors, you can co-minister with them to increase the confidence of the mentee. I'll give you an example. It's often when a mentoring relationship matures that you're able to work together and support each other together. One of my mentors, as I mentioned, is Tom Sine in Seattle. Well, he's an author, and I was scared to death to ask him to be my mentor because he's written books down the length of his arm. He's a well-known writer and speaker across North America and the world. And when I finally had the guts to ask him to be my mentor, he said no. And my heart went from about here to about down here somewhere. He said, no, I'd rather have something a little bit more mutual where we can work on it together. So I was down in the dumps and okay. I didn't even know what to say at that point. One of the most important things a mentor can say to you is, I believe in you enough to spend time with you. I believe enough in you to pray with you. And I think mentors sometimes risk a lot. They risk their own reputation. They give a lot of their time in order to sponsor or come alongside a mentee. It's like being girded up. There are different kinds of mentors. This is a great diagram. It's actually one of my favorites. Let's just look at the top line first. We have intensive, that means full-on, heavy-duty mentoring, occasional, and passive. And at the bottom, we see that if it's intensive, there's a lot more intentionality and greater accountability. So if you're in a relationship with a mentor who could be your discipler, who could be a spiritual guide or a spiritual director or a coach, that would be pretty important. You'd have a strong relationship and be very intentional. On the other side, you might have a passive mentoring relationship. So there's less accountability and less intentionality. It could be somebody historic. It could be a model, kind of a hero, a heroine, a role model, or it could be somebody contemporary. So we see a whole range of ways that we can relate to mentors. One of the interesting things is very few of us, if I said, who here sees themselves to be a mentor? Our hands would probably all be down in our pocket at that point. The big challenge is many of us say, who, me, a mentor? The other bracket under here is, you've got to be kidding. I want to shed a little bit of light on that. There's a friend of mine, her name is Sandra. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to see ourselves who we really are, to even see ourselves as being potential mentors. Sandra was on the board of a national organization that I was part of, and her husband was a pastor. So she had in her mind, I'm a pastor's wife, I'm a pastor's wife, I'm a pastor's wife. And I was meeting with her, and she said, I'm in town, I'm going to a reception at the university, and I just dread these receptions. I said, what do you mean, Sandra? Why do you dread them? Because people are going to ask me what I do, and I don't want to say I'm a pastor's wife. I mean, I don't even know what to say. And I said, Sandra, you know, what do you do during the week? Well, you know, I meet with people. No, what do you really do? Oh, well, there are about 26 young moms and single women that I meet with one-on-one throughout the week, and we talk and we pray and we through things. And I said, well, that sure sounds a lot like mentoring, Sandra. She had never, never thought of herself as a mentor. Here's a godly woman who spends all kinds of time giving her life to other people. And it's something that then she's able to go forward with a little bit of confidence that, yes, she can be a mentor. Friends, we have a profound need for each other, the body of Christ. It's incredibly important that we're not alone, but we're linked to each other, we care for each other, we mentor each other, we guide and disciple each other. So I'd like to ask, what are some practical action steps? Where do we go from here? And I'm actually going to give you a mentoring question. So if you were my protege and I were your mentor, I might say to you, what one or two things could you do this month that would begin to make mentoring a reality in your life? Just one or two things in the next month. That's a great mentoring question, by the way, that one. The thing is that it's possible to do things like read a good book about mentoring, the one on the far left side, Connecting, by Bob Clinton. Excellent, excellent book. There's a lot of good resources out there. I think it's a good idea to look at your life afterward and identify those areas where you need mentoring, where you need help. What are you looking for? How might you make one of your current relationships with someone you already know, make that relationship more intentional, take it to the next level, be a little bit more serious about it? You might want to brainstorm a list of possible people you could ask to mentor you. You could ask your friend, your pastors, spiritual directors, and co-workers for ideas. I think one of the things we often do not do is to stand back and say, who are the people in my life who are already functioning the way? Thank them, recognize them, appreciate them, tell them that yes, they are your mentor. Make your relationships with them more purposeful and intentional. Incredibly important. I have a woman, her name is Doris Bailey. I see her, she's only 91 years old. I see her as my spiritual mother. And it was actually 16 years ago, she was visiting us when we lived in Halifax, and we were at the airport, and I had this burning desire to ask her to be my mentor and to tell her that she was my spiritual mother. And as she was leaving at the airport, we were almost at the departure gate, I said, you know, Doris, if there could be anybody in this world who I could have as my spiritual mother, it would be you. Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad I said that because that just enhanced our relationship, big hugs, and we've carried on since then. I think it was also important for Doris as well. She's a retired missionary to Nepal. She's now living in an assisted living center, but Doris is very much a mentor. I encourage you to contact a potential mentor. Ask if you can get together. You might do it over Skype as well. Talk to them, explain what you're looking for. See if they might be interested. And I also think you need to be bold and to ask. Sometimes that's the scariest thing we could possibly ever do, but I encourage you, it's well, well worth it. Well, I have done this speeding exercise through mentoring. I was wondering if there are any quick questions. Does anyone have a question? Does it feel like you've just had like a fire hose go over you this morning about mentoring? How about if I ask this? Did anybody have at least one thing that they might be able to put into practice? Anybody has one thing? Yeah, a couple people have one thing they might put in practice. That's good. Any questions? Now, this is the opportunity, you know, this is the time you wait for, you know, otherwise known as grill the speaker, you know, the slow barbecue, put them on a, no, I don't mean that. Any questions? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, going back to that diagram, I don't think I can flip back. The one that had you in the middle had your upward mentors here, your peers here, and the downward mentor. It's a matrix. It's not just one person. It's like a family. It's like a community. So that upward mentor plays a significant role because you might not know how to relate to these people or how to relate to the other person you are mentoring. And that's one thing you can talk about with your upward mentor. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you. Anyone else have any quick questions? I hope we're able to start this conversation. I hope that over coffee you grab me and ask a question. How do I find a mentor? What do I do next? I really want to encourage you, though. Please, seriously, take a look at who those people are in your life who might mentor you, who are already mentoring you. Look at those areas where you could really benefit from some mentoring. And I encourage you, may you have the courage and grace to find those people and develop those relationships. Thank you.